This one is a doozy. I interrupt Chloe at least 70 times while she tells me she feels nothing for this movie. We try to remember things and fail at it. Vibes are spoken of. And speaking of vibes, this episode gives off manic exhaustion. And also, I will finally mention the movie now because it's very good, and you shouldn't listen to Chloe and her opinions unless they fall in line with my immaculate ones. The Girl with All the Gifts is where it's at. Spoilers for this movie ahead. And also, it's not like gay, but it's got more fruit flavor than a LaCroix, so it counts.
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing the 2016 British post-apocalyptic film The Girl with All the Gifts, directed by Colm McCarthy, written by Mike Carey. It's starring Gemma Arterton, Patty Considine. I don't know how you say it. Considine. Why do people have names? Glenn Close, that one I can say, and Senia Nanua. I don't know.
I'll maybe edit that to make it sound time, magically competent.
Next time, you read the names, dang it.
Okay.
Let's hear you all do right. Them. Okay, you do your read.
Well, I don't have them open. Let me open
okay,
them.
Okay, open the. Let's hear your read. You know, you're gonna talk poop.
I'm an immigrant, so like.
Okay. I have a speech impediment, dude. I did 12 years of speech therapy.
All right, let's do this.
Okay.
Senia Nanua.
Okay.
Glenn Close.
Okay.
Gemma Arterton.
Okay.
Patty Considine. Considine?
An I and E sound in English is technically pronounced ein, so.
Considine.
Like dine, wine. Yeah, I think it's Considine. So this movie is... Let's do the plot summary before we get into the debate that we are inevitably going to have because we already talked about it. In this movie, it's a post-apocalyptic future where zombies called Hungries, because following that classic zombie movie trope of like never calling them zombies, they have to have any name but zombies. Like, just call them zombies. We know what they are. just
munchies, biters, yeah, clickers.
Just call them zombies.
Just, they're zombie boys.
Or my favorite is when they call them like Z or Zed or something. It's just like, just call them zombies.
We're on the same side so far. Okay. I agree with you.
Okay. We're on the same side about this. Sorry. My cat is getting ready to leap and it's going to make a noise. He has leapt.
Bye, Justice.
He came, he saw, he conquered, and then now he's going to go take a nap. So the Hungries are zombies, classic zombie rules. They bite you, you get sick, you become a zombie. They want flesh or blood or something. It's not clear what exactly they're eating, but they want something that's inside people. It's not brains, but it's like flesh or blood that they want to eat. The story follows a bunch of children who are second generation Hungries, who apparently have evolved into kind of symbiosis with the fungus that causes the disease, or causes the Hungries. We're doing
the munchies.
Yeah, the munchies, the diners. we're doing the Last of Us rules. So it is caused by a parasite, a fungus.
Heck yeah.
And these second generation kids are actually, unlike the first generation, which are the infected like adults and people who were born when they were infected, who are mindless zombies, the second generation is able to think and in fact seem to be maybe even smarter than normal. Like, that seems to be implied in the beginning.
Yeah, they're like better at adapting and just like, yeah, physically and intellectually more advanced.
They're like reciting the periodic table from memory.
Mm-hmm.
Which I know like a normal human can do also, but you probably wouldn't like teach a bunch of school children to do it. And then there's this whole thing where one of the kids is given the like Schrodinger's cat experiment as like a riddle. And I mean, she comes up with an answer. It's not the right answer, but she does come up with an answer. So these kids are all being held by what's left of the military. and they're being used for experimentation. We follow one of them, Melanie, who is very smart, and I'm trying to think about this. There's a few different people that that are important here. So Sergeant Eddie Parks, played by Patty Considine, who is the head of security at the military base. Gemma Arterton plays Helen, who is like a teacher, and she's like sympathetic to the second gen Hungries. Glenn Close is Caroline, who is a doctor. They try and portray her as kind of villainous. I'm going to argue that she was kind of just doing what she could to save everyone. Like, obviously, she was not a very sympathetic character.
She has the vibes of someone who's trying really hard to the point where she herself is losing her humanity.
Right.
But she's, like, in the process of it. She's not there yet. She's not, like, heartless, evil, like, scientist person.
Because she's shown, like, she's taking the children away for dissection, basically. It's implied. As far as, you know, experimenting on children goes, it's at least presented in a way that, like, you don't feel any pain. It's not like this is some brutal, awful thing that she's doing. And she's about to develop a vaccine. It's unclear why the vaccine, like, she's like, oh, I almost have it. I just need one more kid. And it's just like, I don't really understand why that one kid makes a difference when you just took a kid the day before, but sure. And finally, we've got Senia as Melanie. She's the smart one. Basically, so they're all at this military base. Melanie gets selected for dissection by Caroline. And right as they're about to dissect her, the Hungries break through and are entering the base. And there's this dramatic scene where Helen, Eddie, Caroline, Melanie, and this other guy escape, or two other guys escape, right before Caroline can complete the operation to develop the vaccine. They then go on the road. They want to make it to this other base. I forget what the name of the other base was.
I will never, ever remember a name.
Yeah, but also they have some magic gel that allows them to basically be invisible. It masks their scent to the Hungries.
I don't remember. What was it? It was just like, was it like some made up thing or was it some weird?
It was just something that masks their scent. It was implied, I think, that Caroline maybe developed it.
Probably from the kids she chopped.
They just called it Blocker. And so, I mean, they're making their way south, basically. They have to go through London. And as all zombie movies go, like, one by one, they start kind of dropping off. And then it's revealed that the fungus is starting to, like, enter a different stage where it creates these weird, I guess you call it, like, a tree-like growth around a tower. Kind of like vines growing on a tree and fruiting, you know, producing
spore cocoons.
Spore pods. And Caroline reveals that, like, oh, you can't break them open. The pods have to be exposed to heat or water. So, spoiler alert, that's going to happen before the end. anyway, so they find another research lab. Caroline is getting very sick. She cut herself and she's dying from the infection. So she's like, it's now or never. And so she drugs Sergeant Eddie Parks and Helen and tries to dissect Melanie, but that's where Melanie reveals that she can hold her breath because the fungus produces oxygen for her. And then Melanie is like, I don't know, you're not the future, I'm the future. And so she goes and breaks open she lights the pods on fire, which releases the spores. And so that, it's implied that that's like going to spread all across, I guess, all of Britain, maybe further, and turn everyone who's left uninfested into Hungries. Except Helen, who survives because she's in the air-filtered lab, and now she's going to be the teacher for the children, the second generation. And that's the end. So I've got thoughts, but first I've talked a lot,
disclaimer.
Val, so you start with your thoughts.
When I put this movie on the list.
That's a good place to start with, yes.
Yes. I offhandedly mentioned that it's not explicitly queer, but it has strong undertones. And then I forgot to mention it again when it actually came time to watch it for Chloe.
There's no queerness in it at all.
What are you talking about?
Zero.
No.
These people, there's not any sexuality. These people are just trying to survive. The only thing that's implied is that the second
Melanie has a massive crush on her teacher.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's like she sees Helen as her mom.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, she does not.
It's not a crush because she doesn't. She's not, first of all, I don't think she's really, like, old enough to, like, process, like, that type of sexual attraction. And, like, she's been kept in, like, prison conditions. Like, I feel like she's not, I don't know, I don't think it's a crush in that sense.
She keeps writing stories about how she's gonna save her teacher from this place, and then, like, they will live together happily ever after.
Yeah, and there is a way to show
this. There is a way to show this in a way where it's a sort of like mother-daughter relationship. This did not give me those vibes at all. She has a crush on her.
Okay, but how so?
It's just it. Look, Chloe, the vibes are different.
As a gay, you should know this. Going is vibes. I mean, I'm all for vibes when it comes to Kurosami because that's how it started. But like. This is like a 10-year-old girl and like a 40-year-old woman.
The teacher does not have any of that whatsoever, which, thank God. Let's start with that. Yes. Like, the teacher is not involved in any part of this queerness.
There's nothing problematic, first of all. aside from the fact that they are zombies who eat people, which is, I don't know, it's very gory. But,
Yes. But other than that, something about the way that she treats the acts of service that she does for her teacher, the way she wants to appear to her, it felt very queer to me. It did not feel like this is a kid and a mom. Like, let's think of movies where that might be a thing.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of a movie where there's like a similar relationship, but it's like parental.
What about, I keep thinking of video games, but what about God of War?
Haven't played it.
I mean, I haven't I know the vibes of it, though. Like,
those are parental vibes. Internet.
That's parental vibes. Okay. Yes.
Like, so, Last of Us, Ellie and Joel, that's parental. But, okay, so here's the thing, right? There is a trend of dudes, like, adopting kids in games and movies and shows and stuff right now, which I dig. But there's not enough moms adopting kids. It's very hard to compare.
Okay. So there's The Mandalorian, which... I mean, it's Baby Yoda. Like, Baby Yoda's not here to have a sexuality, but sure. Let me think. What am I thinking of? I'm trying to remember the name of it.
There is something that's, like, I'm trying to think of, but I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I mean, there was just the Obi-Wan series, which was about Obi-Wan escorting...
A guy adopting a kid, yep.
Young Leia. But again, yeah, it's the same, but...
Can't think of any women. Yeah. The closest would be... Okay, so this is a little bit of a stretch, but Resident Evil.
I haven't... I don't...
You watched the marathon with us, Chloe.
I was doing stuff or sleeping. Okay. I did not watch any of Resident that except Evil, to make fun of the parts that I was vaguely awake for.
Yeah, we watched all six of them. It was something. anyway... In, I think, the second movie, there's, like, a kid, and there's protectiveness from Alice towards that kid. And, like, that didn't feel queer at all.
Okay.
It's really hard to think of anything, honestly. But I'm telling you, Chloe, this is so gay. She's a little gay. She's a baby gay.
Oh, my God.
There's no way you can convince me she's not.
I just had one. It was on the tip of my tongue. What is it? Oh my God. You started talking about Resident Evil and I forgot.
You should have interrupted me.
It's a comic. Something is killing the children.
I do not know that comic.
There's a whole arc about these older women who adopt younger kids to train them in monster hunting. And one of them is... So the protagonist of the first arc, The second arc is like a flashback to her training with an older woman. And that one has a real, I don't know, it has a weird sexual energy to it. So I know it can happen. I will admit there is the kind of like the child having the crush on a teacher. I feel like is something that is known, like that happens in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see the argument you're making. Like, I don't disagree that you saw this. I'm just saying I didn't. I just feel like, for me at least, it was so, especially because Melanie is hungry and like they can't really interact in a close, you know, mother-daughter way.
That's okay, but here's the thing, right?
Like, I don't know.
In the beginning, when the base gets attacked and Melanie starts killing the soldiers that hurt Helen.
Yeah.
At some point, Helen is carrying her. She carries her to the truck. Now, that was purely motherly. Like,
yes.
That exactly. is an adult woman protecting this child that she has a very strong relationship with. Like, Melanie is definitely one of her favorites, if not the favorite, probably the favorite, because all the other kids are dead. But, like, that's clearly parental. But from Melanie's side, whenever she interacts, it's just a little bit different than what a child would behave like with a parent. And I know this situation, because it is like a zombie horror movie and it's fantasy, it doesn't have to make logical sense, but the vibes are there and they're very strong to me. I don't know, like, okay. I couldn't unsee it, because I didn't come into this movie being like, I'm going to watch a gay little zombie movie. No, right? I didn't know what it was about.
Okay.
I just heard that The Girl with All the Gifts is a very, very good book, and I didn't have time to read it. And it was like on Barnes & Noble something, and it like won an award, I think. So I was just like, oh, this is a zombie thing? Hmm, interesting. The only horror I'm willing to watch, like, willingly. And so I came into this movie knowing nothing about it, other than it was zombies.
Okay.
But I think within the first, like, 20 minutes, I was like, oh, what is this? What are these little hinty hints? I don't know how you didn't feel it. Oh my God.
I guess I just didn't. I don't know. I was also, okay. I don't know. I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this, because I don't think anything's going to change my mind. I just didn't feel it.
I guess.
I just didn't see it. I didn't feel it. It just wasn't there it, for me. Okay. It was just
so like, so in the beginning, in the beginning, right? When they are in class, like, all, like, tied up or whatever, and she reads the story that she wrote. Yep.
Melanie reads the story, yeah.
Yeah. It's a story about a woman who gets attacked.
Yep.
Right? And a girl, like Achilles, comes to save her.
Yeah.
And she finishes the story with, they live happily together ever after.
Yeah.
There are different ways that writers could have phrased that, in my opinion. Like, the levity to that scene was just a little different than what it could have been, and what it more instinctually would have been if it was just, like, a parental relationship. And, I don't know, like, it was just way more interesting than that. Because from Helen's side, she's this teacher, her entire class just got slaughtered.
Yeah.
She's in the situation where she manages to save one of them, right? And everything is hopeless. Like, literally, there's no hope. And she's just trying to keep this girl alive. And then from Melanie's side, it's so different. Not only is she the savior, right? In her mind, she's, like, the person keeping everyone else safe. And she is. She's, like, doing all of those things that they could never possibly do. But when it concerns Helen, it's, like, it is, in a sense, parental, like, she does see her, of course, as, you know, a guardian. But there's more there. There's, like, a different way that she's going, at, like, out of her way to get attention from her teacher. I don't know, just based on all the other shows and movies and games and whatever that I played where there's this sort of relationship, the kid behaves differently. And here, it's fruity.
Okay. I see the perspective that you're coming from, and I agree that there's been other media where I feel like I have seen queerness there and, like, argued that it was there with a lot of people who said there wasn't, but I just don't see it in this case. And that's, I don't know. I don't think anything's
All right, so I just Googled the girl with all the gifts queerness.
Yes.
There is, like, some person's random blog post about it. It's long. let's see. Goodreads tends to have people who...
Yeah, I see the thing you're saying where the person said it's about a cinematic adaptation of a young girl's slow acceptance of her zombie identity and abilities and appetites that derive from it. Miss Justineau, whom she clearly desires on a romantic and potentially sexual level, are feeling she herself does not fully understand. It is a portrayal of queer desire.
I wouldn't say it's sexual.
Yeah, that's a little weird. This is by a professor at Northern.
There are a few scenes. Sorry to keep interrupting you, but there are scenes where Melanie, like, when she does get, like, when she eats, it is euphoric. But I wouldn't say it was sexual. It's more of like a drug. Yeah, I wouldn't call it that. But, like, it seems that a few people did kind of see that.
I don't know. Now I'm disagreeing with you. I'm going to say, like, there was something about the way she was eating, the way she was discovering that she enjoyed it, that did have a sexuality to it. And now I didn't think about the fact that, like, her embracing the fact that she is a zombie could have a queerness attached to it. But now that I'm looking at this article, I don't disagree.
Okay.
But I don't
thank
see
your that, random internet person.
I don't see the relationship with Helen, but I do see the queerness in the zombiedom.
I guess that okay, I can so see. So here's the thing, like, that's a decent argument in a sense that, like, you can kind of put that on any sort of media and say, like, otherness can translate to queerness. I find that happens a lot with literature. For example, like, we talked about Haunting of Hill House, like, the book, right? Nelly is very othered, right? And she's also very queer. Yeah. So it's easy to compound those two arguments together and, like, build on them. Here, I would also use that argument to strengthen my vibes argument, but I wouldn't necessarily start from that point. For me, I noticed it when with the way that Melanie behaved towards her teacher. And then all that other stuff, like, it more so had to do with the fact that this is, like, a child, that she's also Black, right? And there's a lot to do with race here in a way.
Yeah. So I mean, zombie movies have always had a very close relationship with race. Have you seen the first Night of the Living Dead?
Time
for your pop quiz, if you remember how that ends.
Yes, I do.
How does it end?
The main character, who is a Black gentleman, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. He gets killed?
Yep.
That's what you told me, right?
By a white posse.
That's right.
He survives all the zombies only to get killed by a bunch of white rednecks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I do. And, you know, like, that's the first zombie movie, really.
Mm-hmm.
First modern zombie movie, in any case. So, like, I think, yeah, I think that is important. And I'm looking at the IO9 review, which is pointing out some interesting things. So, first
off,
what
is IO9?
It's Gizmodo. It's just, you know how Gizmodo has, like, different sections? It's just their sci-fi nerd section.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Cool. Gotcha.
So they point out that in the book, Helen was Black and Melanie was white.
Oh, interesting.
Which is interesting because that changes things quite a bit. Because Melanie is definitely presented as the other and someone to be afraid of. And then there's that scene at the end where she's looking down at the sergeant and says, you know, like, he's talking about how the world's over, and he's like, it's not over, it's just not yours anymore. And the, like, anti-colonialist message of that is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I see the racial element. I see the sexual and the racial elements of this. Like, these are expanding my mind. We need to put links to this article by this, I think, Karen J. Renner seems to be a faculty member at Northern Arizona University.
Okay, so basically, every time I have to convince you of something, I'm going to have someone else do the work for me.
I'm still not convinced of the Helen-Melanie relationship, or not relationship, but, like, Melanie having some kind of crush on Helen. But I do like the read of it in terms of zombie desire and queerness and race and all those intermingled. This is really interesting. We need to... Okay, so we're definitely going to put in the show notes this article because I am really enjoying it. I also had some other things that I wanted to talk about. My first question to you, Val, is this movie good?
You didn't like it? Oh my God.
I'm not saying that. I have conflicted feelings about it.
It's so fun.
I didn't really think it was fun. It felt very, I don't know. It felt very similar in some ways to 28 Days Later, which is clearly an inspiration. And then kind of had The Last of Us vibes, which I've never played, but I know enough. And then, I wasn't all that invested.
Are you a fan of zombie movies?
Yes.
Okay. That is weird.
I've seen all the Living Dead movies. I've seen 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later, which was not good.
yeah, I didn't like that one either. I don't even remember it. What's left the no impression.
You're just interrupting me all the time tonight.
I'm sleepy.
Yeah. What's the goofy one with Woody Harrelson, that zombie movie and the sequel?
Zombieland.
Yes. So I've been around. I've seen zombie movies. I enjoy them. I also really like zombies as a metaphor for public health. Like, if you can understand how a zombie outbreak spreads, you have a pretty good understanding of public health and epidemiology and why things spread the way they do. But yeah, I don't know. This one just didn't... It was fine. That was my impression. Like, it was fine.
Okay. Well, now I'm bummed out. That's all right. I really liked it. I had a fun time watching it.
Yeah. I feel like there were some things that I just couldn't suspend my disbelief about, which was part of the problem. It's just like doing
what?
That horror movie trope of like people acting just as stupid as humanly possible in situations. That was really annoying to me. Like when they get to London and that one soldier goes off on his own to scout for food. And then he takes off all his like supplies and leaves them because he wants to fit under a grate or a gate. And it's just, he leaves his radio behind. And it's just like, why? Like, why are you, why?
So it's, that they can find his gear leader and not just, fall into the trap.
And it's so clear that he's being baited because there's like this trail of food and he just is like walking along like after just being like, I couldn't find food anywhere.
That was
But suddenly there's a trail of food and I'm just going to take that at like, it's just so clearly like out of there are other moments like this, like when the zombies break through the gate of the... or the fence of the military base, and the soldiers are just freaking out and just like running back and forth, and they're so disorganized. And it's like, okay, Melanie is 10 years old, at least. You've been doing this for a decade, you know, fighting these zombies, these hungries for a decade. You would think they would have some discipline and like battle tactics. But no, it's just like the moment the fence comes down, it's just like, oh, chaos. We don't have any idea of like how to organize defensively, even though we've been doing this for a decade. It's just silly.
But what did you think of the rivalry between Melanie and Sergeant Parks?
Rivalry?
Oh my God, Chloe, did we watch the same movie?
Why would you call it a rivalry?
Melanie hated his guts every single time he paid any attention to Helen. Any attention. She was always jealous of it. Come on.
I did not pick up on that.
Were you sleeping? Is this a Resident Evil marathon nap that you took during the movie?
No. I just thought she hated him because he was one of the soldiers.
She doesn't behave like that towards any of the other soldiers. She doesn't even behave like that towards Glenn Close.
Caroline.
She's Glenn Close.
Okay.
Let's be real.
I don't know.
The actual person who has, in the movie, tried to, like, kill her.
I guess I just wasn't that invested in it, so maybe I wasn't reading too much into it. Now that you mention it, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess that was happening, but I didn't even think about it.
Okay, so you just, this movie didn't leave an impression on you. So therefore, you weren't as engaged with it as you could have been.
Exactly.
For example, how I was.
I was not engaged at all. Like, I had to check multiple times, and I was like counting down the minutes till it ended, to be honest.
Gotcha. All right. You could have told me you didn't like it. We would have done something else.
It was fine. Like, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't like, I don't know. It didn't do anything for me.
That's okay. I don't know. I really like this movie.
Because, like, we've definitely done some movies that were, like, actively, like, we didn't, like, Carol. Like, this is not Carol. This movie is fine. If I were on an airplane and the choice was between this movie and, like, Carol, or, you know, like, having to be alone with my thoughts for 5 minutes, I would definitely choose this movie. And it's fine. It's, like, average zombie movie. I don't think it does anything too unique from my perspective. It's not furthering the genre in some way that I find interesting. It's entertaining. It's fine. It's got a good cast.
It does have a good cast.
I don't think there's any character I criticize as being bad, which is, you know, for zombie films, you can have some, like, you know, I feel like sometimes people come into zombie films and they're like, oh, okay, it's a zombie film. I'm going to overact like crazy. But like, I'm going to, you know, just like scream and, you know, like the moment is on me. But like, I feel like it's very subtle. It's a very understated British performance that we're getting from everyone. And it works. Like, everyone's good. Glenn Close is terrifying. She's definitely channeling a bit of her Cruella de Vil vibes from, you know, the 90s. And it really works in a nicer way, though. Like, not quite as villainous, but, like, definitely she's so good at doing that. Like, I am not necessarily, like, evil, but I'm dangerous. She's really good at that.
Yes, yes. That's a good way of describing it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right, question.
Okay.
Did Glenn Close, like, her other doctor person, woman, like, did she stand out to you? Like,
the nurse, yes.
Yeah,
I felt think like it was she a doctor. Was gonna be a bigger character. She definitely, she appeared and then she was gone, but she seemed more important. They, like, focused on her more.
Okay, I believe it's Anna Maria Marinka, and she played Dr. Selkirk.
Okay, so as a doctor.
Yes. But the way that she turned, I don't know, like, that was a great turning. There are very few times that I've watched zombie movies that I was, like, impressed by how characters turn into zombies. But that was, for some reason, like, just really fun to watch. She really gave it her all.
Yes.
I can't really think of, I guess, like, in 28 Days Later with the eye drop. But that was just dramatic.
Oh my god.
That was, like, just super dramatic. You know, like, it was, I think the moment itself more than the acting.
Yeah.
Whereas here, it was definitely the acting that did it. I really liked that moment for some reason.
And Patty Considine was excellent. Mm-hmm. He was on House of the Dragon, which recently aired, and I hope everyone watched because it was very queer and honestly pretty good and eschewed some of the worst parts of Game of Thrones. But he's great too. I really like him.
He was very good. He did that very, like, competent but also obstacle character,
which is what he was on House of the Dragon, kind of. So
I have not seen that.
Okay, highly recommend it.
Game of Thrones, ugh.
Yeah, but
I don't want to.
It's okay, fine. People are gonna be talking about it, you just won't know.
I know, I can't escape it. I know there are some fruits happening. I don't know if it's fan made or if there are vibes.
There is definitely some, there's some canon.
Gotcha.
Yes.
But yeah, Gemma Arterton. Yeah, it's so hard
what
to
else,
pronounce her last
what
name.
What else has she been in? I feel like
she
was in
played Vita in Vita and Virginia, which is a historical queer movie.
I haven't seen
it. It's on our list. I haven't seen it either. But, like, you know, she did play a lesbian.
Okay.
So that's a point for my argument.
Okay, fair enough.
It's not. But I'll take anything.
Oh, she was in Quantum of Solace. Okay. I saw that.
She was in a lot of good movies.
She was a character named Strawberry Fields. Jesus. Oh my God. James Bond names, man. James Bond names.
Yeah. She was in Prince of Persia.
Okay. Did not see that. Was that the one with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Why do you get Jake Gyllenhaal to play a Persian man?
Because anyway. He has a beard, so, and his hair is black. So, you know, he could pass as a white man with a black beard for a Persian, obviously. Okay. Yeah, I don't
Google
know.
Google is telling me that he's Swedish. He's like, no, that's like not, it's not like, you know, like at least.
Yeah.
If they had cast someone who was like Greek or Italian, I'd be like, okay, at least, you know, like they're getting into the Mediterranean region.
They put half an effort into it.
But if they cast someone who was Indian or Arab, my dad would be super offended. But again, at least they like put some effort into it. But again, it's just phoning it in. Anyway, Girl with All the Gifts. I feel like I've been kind of unfair to this movie.
Yes, you have been. You're so mean.
I am very mean. I don't know why I'm mean. Maybe it's December and I'm just like bad brain chemistry.
Nah, it's okay. You're allowed to not like a movie.
Okay. I guess part of the reason was like I went into this with the expectation that like it's going
Once
to
again,
be.
Once again, I forgot to tell you.
I was waiting. I was like, oh, it must be like Caroline and Helen are going to share a moment, or like Caroline's going to have this flashback where we learn that like her wife died and that's why she's so gung-ho on finding a cure. And no, like, no.
Nope.
So like, maybe that was part of the issue, was that my expectations were for a different movie.
Yes, than it ended I think up that's being. Definitely a part of it. I do agree with you. Like, it doesn't necessarily, like, it's not revolutionary.
Yeah. But a movie doesn't have to be. I don't know. Like, I feel like I was a little unfair in saying that. Like, a zombie movie, like, none of them were truly all that revolutionary, but all of them kind of moved the genre forward. We've got some interesting ideas here. For instance, you know, you see the smart zombie idea come up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes up in the Living Dead movies, where the zombies like evolve and they're getting smarter, and there's like a zombie general and whatnot. But
Dawn of the Dead kind of has that, where they're not necessarily intellectually smart, but they're not brain dead,
right? And I think 28 Weeks Later even introduces like a zombie. Well, she's more of like she's like the girl in The Last of Us, where she's infected, but not really.
I don't remember that movie at all.
Anyway, but yeah, don't watch 28 Weeks Later. Watch, if you have to choose between The Girl with All the Gifts and 28 Weeks Later, watch The Girl with All the Gifts.
So far, you've only been comparing it to like the worst movies.
No, but I think you could compare it to 28 Days Later, which is one of my favorite zombie movies.
Yeah, I need
it's
to rewatch
it. It's a very similar idea, although I just like how 28 Days Later does things, but 28 Days Later has just that killer soundtrack. There is a movie that is like made by its soundtrack. Anyway.
Is 20 Weeks the one where the guy makes out with his wife?
And then she like, the wife is infected and
she's a carrier, but then
they start making out and then she infects him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember
it's a really
vaguely.
Stupid scene in a very stupid movie.
I mean, we also have like a similar thing with I Am Legend, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not necessarily
stupid movies.
They're not necessarily zombies, but they are like intelligent, and it's a similar idea of it's their world now.
Yeah.
The humans just live in it, which is interesting because when you started watching it, you messaged me like, "Are these vampires? What?" Okay, so I was kind of like. Is this in the school scene in the beginning?
So in the beginning, they're kind of in this like semi-darkness for a lot of it. And then like they're just strapped into these chairs, the kids. And like we don't see them in light really. So it's very dark. And I thought like maybe they're vampires. And then there's this scene where is it Eddie who like shows that they're like they want to bite him?
Yeah, he spits on his
arm.
Yeah,
he rubs off the blocker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, and the kids start, like, chomping, like, I want to eat that. And I thought, like, oh, they want to drink his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So I, but then it's pretty clearly revealed that they're zombies, like, two scenes later. But, like, I thought they might be vampires. And that I thought it was going for maybe, like, because in the I Am Legend, in the book especially, they are vampires. Yeah, I don't know, like...
I can't believe you didn't see how, like, jealous she was every time that dude was.
I guess I just was not. I was not vibing with it. Getting yeah. back to vibes. I don't know why, though. It was Saturday. I, like, purposefully tried to watch it, like, on a day and time where I'd be, like, calm and collected. I think. I don't know.
You were too calm and collected. You needed maybe. To be a little bit chaotic.
Maybe I needed to. I needed a little bit of frenetic. A little bit of that big zombie energy. Do you have any other thoughts, questions for us to discuss? Is this going to be a short episode?
I honestly thought you would see even a little bit of it. So not particularly.
I ruined the episode.
No, you didn't. No, this is interesting. I don't know. Okay, to be fair, there's a lot of like scenes where they talk about like parents and kids.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, moments with zombies and being around. Like, there's that one where a zombie is, like, walking a carriage. What is it called? Like, not a carriage.
The a pram.
Thank you. Yes.
A baby a pram. Carriage yeah. or a pram. That's British, so it's a pram.
And, like, there's nothing in it, but there's, like, that behavior exhibited. And then they go to...
Okay, plot hole, though. There was a rat inside. And why didn't they eat the rat? Because it's established that they eat animals.
Because it's baby, Chloe.
But it's yeah. a live rat. Anyway, sorry.
You know,
I'm just being quarrelsome.
Yeah. How come there is a plot hole in a zombie movie?
Yeah. Who's ever had those before in a zombie movie?
What is this?
God, I feel like a jerk now. Thanks, Val.
That's what I'm here for, to make you feel like a joke. Oh my God, I can't speak. I'm so tired. Okay. I'm so sleep deprived. Instead of having to work at 8:30, I got called in at 7:45. So I had to wake up like an hour earlier. And then I'm going to have to work at 7 again on Thursday. Anyway.
Okay. Final thoughts. Since we're there, I think.
Thanks for humoring me. And hey, the shorter the episode, the less I have to edit.
That's true.
So maybe I should like suggest things that you like less more often.
So you think if I liked this more, I would have talked more?
Yeah.
Interesting.
The episodes where we're really, really into something, like we have to stop ourselves. They're usually an hour and 10 minutes or so. And then the ones where it's like this, it's one of us trying to convince the other or like trying to like start conversations and like... visit topics while the other one is just like, I guess. And those tend to be like 50 or so until we edit it down.
Okay. I mean, my final thoughts are that like, it's a pretty good zombie movie. It's enjoyable. I'd check it out if you're in the mood for a zombie movie. And then you can, drop us a line on Twitter, Tumblr, or Instagram or something and tell me why I'm wrong and why Val is right. Yeah.
It's not an intellectual movie.
No.
I've had zero brain cells engaged.
It's not a cerebral. It's not a zombie movie with brains. But I'm...
Oh.
And on that note, thank you all so much for tuning in. I just want to mention some of our social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest are @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. Our website is InMediaLez.com, and you can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. You can also reach out to us on Tumblr at...
ThePodInMediaLez.tumblr.com.
Excellent. And Val is teaching me how to tumble, so I will be interacting more on there. And
which, by the way, Chloe said that I refused to teach her, but I just told her to follow who she wanted to follow, and I'm not going to tell her who to follow.
If you can teach me how to use Tumblr, please reach out.
And don't.
Shout out to Anonymous, who suggested a game for us to play, which we will be doing. I won't spoil the name of it. Oh,
how I love horror.
And shout out to Persephone, who interacts with us on Twitter and always has... good guesses for the teasers.
They've been on fire. They like guessed everything.
yeah, I should just resign as host and you can Persephone. anyway, thank you all so much.
That's my line. And we'll see you in the next one.
And God bless.
Chomp, chomp.